Max.
Maxine?
How are you? How are you?
Good.
Could turn your volume up a little bit?
You there, Senator?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and convene the meeting of the Legislative Council Committee. With us on the phone, on the record, for the record, is Representative Bob Ackerman and Senator Co-Chair, Senator Randy Miller. Present in the hearing room, we have Senator Peter Courtney, Representative Max Williams, Speaker Mark Simmons, Representative Cheryl Walker, and Representative Carl Wilson. The purpose of this meeting is to take under consideration the authorization of Legislative Council to file an action against the Secretary of State of the State of Oregon with respect to the issue of whether or not we have, as the legislature, the right to, by resolution, rescind a previous resolution referring a measure to the voters. Specifically, this relates to SJR 50, which was referred in the first special session, and which would be by the passage of HJR 76 yesterday by both chambers before signing die, pulling back or rescinding SJR 50. The minority office in the House inquired of the Attorney General as to whether or not that was something we would be allowed to do. In a meeting yesterday that I had directly with the Attorney General, in which Representative Ackerman was in attendance, we had that discussion, and I, along with Legislative Council, we put forward the reasons why we thought the Attorney General's opinion was in error, asked them to withdraw that opinion. As of the date of this meeting and the time which they were aware of, they have not given us any indication that they intend to withdraw their opinion. It is the considered opinion of at least me that it makes sense that we proceed with this action because of the confusion that may occur on the ballot with both SJR 50 and HJR 76 appearing at the same time. So that's the setup for why we're here today. With that setup, I would like to let Legislative Council have an opportunity to explain in a little bit more detail both the nature of the legal issue and then also the proposal for how we would proceed on this action with the committee to vote in favor of moving the legal matter forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Article 17, Section 1 of the Oregon Constitution authorizes the Legislative Assembly by resolution to refer a proposed constitutional amendment to the voters, and in that same section requires the Secretary to place on the ballot the proposal submitted by the Legislative Assembly. In the past, when the Legislative Assembly has, because of intervening events, decided that the better course was to rescind or repeal a resolution that had proposed a constitutional amendment, the Secretary of State had honored that decision and had not placed on the ballot the amendment proposed by the rescinded or repealed resolution. There are no court cases, no formal Attorney General opinions on this issue, and the Secretary of State and the Legislative Assembly have worked with this common understanding of the provision since the first rescission of a resolution in 1963. The change in the legal landscape brought about by the current Attorney General's advice to the minority members of the House of Representatives, with which we understand the Secretary of State plans to adhere, puts into some dispute the nature of the Legislative Assembly's authority to rescind one of its resolutions and the obligation of the Secretary of State to place on the ballot the final version of the proposal that the Legislative Assembly prefers. If approved, we propose to commence an action in the Marion County Circuit Court under two alternative claims. First would be under ORS 246-910, which is a statute that the legislature passed to grant a person the opportunity to challenge the decision of the Secretary of State in an election matter. If that claim is not available to the Legislative Assembly and to the Speaker and the President, whom we plan to name as the parties in this action, then we will be pressing an alternative claim for a writ of mandamus. In the past, the courts have enforced, used the mandamus proceeding to require a Secretary of State to comply with a legislative's joint resolution. So we believe that between one or both of those claims, we will have the opportunity to have the legal issue decided. My hope is at the conclusion of this meeting, I will be able to confer with the attorney at the Department of Justice who heads the unit that normally handles these type of claims, and that we can work out an expedient briefing schedule that will allow for a prompt decision from the court in time to give the Secretary of State the needed guidance for the May ballot.
Let me add, before we open it up for questions to counsel on this issue, a little bit about the discussion that took place briefly yesterday with the Attorney General. I want you to know, committee, that it was an extremely cordial exchange. There was a positive exchange of advice. The deputy was also there. We discussed the different opinions as to how the Constitution would be interpreted in this matter. You know, there is obviously a difference of opinion as it stands right now. It basically comes down to, and for those of you who happen to be listening to Representative Shetterly on the floor last night, there is a word in the Constitution which says that the Secretary of State shall place the matter on the ballot. And the issue comes down to what that shall means and who that shall was intended to protect. And it is the opinion of our counsel, in which I happen to concur, that that shall was intended to prevent a Secretary of State from arbitrarily refusing to follow a command of the legislature to place a matter on the ballot. It is the opinion of, at least partially, I think, the Attorney General's office, that that shall was intended to be a command of the Secretary of State, which is an unrescindable command by the legislature. This does get into the whole issue of separation of powers between the executive and the legislative branch, and also the concept and the process of the referral. So those are the legal issues. They're interesting. You know, frankly, the process that we're going through is the appropriate process when there is a challenge between the two branches on this sort of an issue, and it's being handled, I believe, with the utmost respect and consideration. But I think it's important for this branch of government to attempt to defend on behalf of the individuals we represent in this process the rights of this institution. So that's sort of the pitch for why we're going down this road. With that, I'd like to open it up for any questions you might have of Council Chairman.
Yeah, this is Bob Ackerman. Can I try one?
You certainly can, Representative.
Okay. I was just curious about the choice of forums as to why you would not want to invoke the discretionary jurisdiction of the Supreme Court in a mandamus matter, with the idea you may get an earlier decision that ahead of the May ballot.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, we would do that but for the possibility that the Supreme Court would conclude that it does not have mandamus jurisdiction because there is another available remedy that being the claim under ORS 246-910. Mandamus, for those who are not JD impaired, is generally a claim for relief that is only available when you can't find any other way to get what you want. The last time the legislature went to the Supreme Court seeking the Supreme Court's original jurisdiction in mandamus, the Supreme Court bounced the case and informed the parties that they had a different statutory remedy. Although it would be preferable to have a quick and final decision from the Supreme Court, we thought the possibility of delay coming from the Supreme Court declining to accept the case to outweigh the choice of filing there, and are picking a more certain forum.
Does that answer your question, Representative Ackerman? I originally was, I think, in agreement with you that my preference was to not file with Marion County, but file directly with the Supreme Court. But in consultation with Greg, and having talked about, I think it was a 1983 or 84 case, there is some question that if the Attorney General's office were then to challenge the mandamus, suggesting that the legislature first had a remedy under 246-910, that would be bounced back to Marion County anyway. And so I think we probably save that argument by simply filing directly in Marion County.
No, I think the conclusion is sound. I'm satisfied.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker?
What kind of timeline are we talking about here? And deadlines for the Secretary of State for direction, what's the last moment that the Secretary of State could pull SCR 50 from the ballot? And
Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, Secretary of State's office informed us that March 29th is the last date by which, or is the date by which the Secretary of State needs to know what's going to be on the ballot in May. At that point, information received later would come too late for the Secretary to include it in the ballot. Marion County Circuit Court, particularly with Judge Lipscomb as the presiding judge, has been very accommodating of the state's need for prompt briefing on issues. Assuming that the Attorney General assigns this case to the unit that normally handles these issues, I'm confident that we can get the case resolved as quickly as we'd like.
Further question?
Yeah, please.
What kind of appeal or is there potential that this could eventually wind up in the Supreme Court's lap?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, a party dissatisfied with the result in the circuit court has the right to appeal to the Court of Appeals, and then if dissatisfied with the decision in the Court of Appeals, may ask the Supreme Court to exercise its discretion to review the Court of Appeals decision. In election cases, from time to time, the case has gone directly from the circuit court to the Supreme Court, bypassing the Court of Appeals when time has been of the essence, and I would think that this kind of case would qualify for that kind of treatment under the circumstances.
We can authorize Mr. Chamoff, Mr. Speaker, to include in the briefing the timeliness issue. I believe that Marion County, which is accustomed to these kinds of actions, will do its utmost to resolve the issue as promptly as possible. Mm-hmm. In the Measure 7 case, for example, the Court of Appeals simply certified the case directly to the Supreme Court and bypassed their own review at the request of the parties, as I recall.
Yes.
We can also direct Mr. Chamoff to make such a request for this matter appealed to the Court of Appeals to try to get final resolution before the Supreme Court. And there are briefs which can be filed which request immediate response or as quick as possible response by the court. Now, we can't tell the court when to respond, but we can certainly urge them and have them acknowledge the timeliness factor that we're operating under here. You know, it is possible, maybe a little unlikely, but possible that we could get an answer before the 29th of March, even from the Supreme Court. Is it not, Mr. Chamoff?
Mr. Chair, I'm confident that we can get a decision by the 29th of March from the Circuit Court. Whether we could get a decision that quickly from the Supreme Court, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll certainly make every effort.
Yeah, it may be challenging, but I think it's not impossible. Representative or Senator Courtney, and then Representative Walker.
You have the AG opinion by
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney. We weren't allowed to see it.
So there's an official AG opinion which was published, and you weren't allowed to see it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney, I don't believe that the Attorney General's opinion is published. I don't know whether it will be published. I know that the Attorney General furnished it to the representatives who requested it, but neither the representatives who requested it nor the Attorney General would give us a copy.
So, technically, for the official record that we're making here today, we don't know what's in the AG's opinion. Written documents. I mean, I'm reading. All I have in front of me, Chair, is the document given to me yesterday by staff in which we actually note different AG's opinion, four different official AG's opinion. And I've never seen this AG's opinion that I started to hear about yesterday, amongst many other things I started to hear about yesterday. I have yet to see an opinion. I've yet to read an opinion on this issue, and so I'm somewhat at sea, to be very frank with you, as to what is in that opinion and what question was presented to the Attorney General. I simply do not, and I mean that in good faith, I have no idea what any of this discussion is about, and I keep looking through. All I have is what was given to me by staff yesterday, which is this document, and I see nothing in here. It talks about an AG's official opinion on this particular issue.
Perhaps I can try to enlighten you, Senator. Mr. Chamoff is correct. In the meeting yesterday, we asked for a copy of the opinion. The Attorney General appropriately reminded us that until his clients, who he wrote the opinion for, authorize him to release it, he is not allowed to provide us a copy because of the attorney-client privilege. He was authorized by his clients to discuss the content of the opinion, which is, I believe, accurately represented as we have described it here to you today, at least as to its conclusion. The materials you have that cite four separate AG's opinions, I'm fearful, is actually another opinion and not the one relative to this matter. You might pass it down to Mr. Chamoff and have him look, but I'm not sure that you're looking at the same opinion. Is that the right one?
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney, this is about the governor's allotment authority. It's a different issue.
So that's a different issue. It's not about that legislative council opinion you have, Senator, isn't relative to the matter that we're currently discussing.
Do you have a written document from the Secretary of State that they're doing, as you say, as well?
No, but the Deputy Secretary of State was in attendance at the meeting. And acknowledged that they also apparently had received the opinion. They had not formally responded to our request to put in writing what their action was going to be because they were going to wait until we had had the meeting that we had had. But before, as we adjourned that meeting, I reminded them that we had this meeting today at 1 o'clock and that we would like to know if they were planning to potentially stand down from the opinion. And I would have expected, because the Attorney General and his deputy have my cell phone number, and know how to get in touch with Mr. Chamoff, that if they had changed their mind, that we would have known about that. I also made an inquiry to the House Minority Leader late yesterday evening before we adjourned sine die, and I felt in that exchange that it was unlikely that they would be asking the Attorney General to withdraw the opinion. So we're sort of left in a quandary, but because of the timeliness issue, Senator, I don't feel like we can wait. If something were to change by midday tomorrow, it's possible that Mr. Chamoff could withdraw the briefs if we were to authorize him to go forward.
What I think is extraordinary is that an official committee of the Oregon Legislature is acting strictly, to some extent on hearsay, but at least verbal communications. And while, albeit I'll admit it's extremely serious, it is rather remarkable to me that there are no written documents in front of us, either from the Attorney General or from the Secretary of State, declaring the issues as you have set out. And I'm not saying they're not exactly as you said. I find it, I'm not going to support any official vote today, if nothing else, because I'd like to have the Attorney General and the Secretary of State in front of this committee, which I think would be the more appropriate approach. I don't know if a matter of 24, I know we set the hearing for Sunday after a rather difficult special session, and I don't know if another day or two is that all that critical. This is peculiar, to say the least. This is a lawyer, and I don't practice anymore like you do, and I don't think I'm certified smart in these matters. But in all the years I've been sitting on committees, we always operate from some kind of written document, be it a bill or an opinion or memorandum, and I have nothing, to be very frank with you, Chair, in front of me that's anything in writing regarding the Secretary of State's final position or the Attorney General's. I realize, and I just find it... It's a first for me.
Senator, I can assure you that I find this to be a peculiar circumstance as well, but I cannot force the Attorney General to release an opinion which his clients will not authorize be released, and I cannot allow this matter to be delayed any further given the March 29th deadline without authorizing counsel, if that's the will of this committee, to take some action. I believe you're right. I fully anticipated to see representatives from the Attorney General's and the Secretary of State's office here today at this meeting, which was properly noticed and properly scheduled, even despite it being on the day after a very difficult end of a special session. They are not here. If they were here with different opinion or advice or with the intent to release the opinion, I would be pleased to have that under discussion and advisement. But I will tell you that in my meetings with them yesterday, it is exactly as I represented to you and to this committee. And it's my hope that they'll release the opinion sooner rather than later so we can all have it under our review. But I think given the timeliness of the issue and its consequences to the body, I think it is inappropriate to delay proceeding at this time.
Can I ask, is it an official AG opinion?
I can't. I wish I knew the answer to you.
Has the AG opinion been shared with the Secretary of State?
It is my belief that it has been.
Well, we don't. So the attorney client, the client has shared the document with the Secretary of State, you believe?
I believe that the Attorney General's office shared it with the Secretary of State based on the dialogue that occurred in the meeting yesterday, Senator. Representative Ackerman, can you enlighten us on that issue? Are you aware or are you at liberty to say?
I'm aware or at liberty to say what?
that the Secretary of State has possession of the opinion.
I don't have personal knowledge of that.
Okay.
I can say, though, that in our meeting yesterday, we started out with an idea is, could we possibly resolve this issue? It was my opinion that the constitutional issue that you're presenting cannot be resolved by any form of legislation or any type of legal finessing. We have to confront it. It's not that important to me to see the Attorney General's opinion. I think that... we have standing, we have a justiciable controversy, we have a case that's meritorious, at least on the record, so I feel that's sufficient for me to proceed. I don't have to always have an opinion from opposing counsel before I need to file a lawsuit. If they're not going to withdraw the measure, then we have standing to proceed as I see it.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Anybody else? Representative Walker.
No, the only question I had is that Mr. Shamoff said that this had occurred the first time in 1963, and I believe there's been three or four of these incidences. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, three instances in 1963, 1967, and 1974. The legislature, in a special session, repealed or rescinded a resolution that the Legislative Assembly had adopted in the previous regular session, and in each of those instances, the Secretary of State did not place the rescinded resolution on the ballot.
Can you give me the dates again, Mr. Chima?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, 1963, 1967, and 1974.
Okay. You still with us, Senator Miller?
I'm here.
Okay, good. We appreciate you pulling the golf cart over to take the meeting.
Is it nice out?
Yeah, it is nice out. You notice he didn't deny that. He did not deny that.
He was right.
Okay, then the chair would make a motion to authorize legislative council to file as soon as possible briefs in the Marion County Circuit Court to set out the legislature's position on this issue as it has been described, and to use all available resources to, as expeditiously as possible, move this matter to conclusion through the court process. And I'll also preface the motion by saying, if, on the other hand, we receive knowledge or information from the Attorney General's office or the Secretary of State's office or the Minority Office that they are withdrawing the opinion and that they are not pursuing the matter, and therefore the Secretary of State may rescind SJR 50 and replace it with HJR 76, that the council is instructed to not further proceed on the legal matter. Is that agreeable to you, Representative Ackerman, as a motion?
Yeah, I have one point of information. Who will be the petitioner or the plaintiff?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, the Speaker, the President, and the 71st Legislative Assembly.
Thank you.
Any other questions with regard to the motion? Okay, hearing none. Corinne, would you call the roll?
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
No.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Speaker Simmons?
Aye.
Vice Chair Miller?
Aye.
And Vice Chair Williams?
Aye. Motion carries. Is there any further business to be brought before the committee?
Can I have a day off?
Not tomorrow, though.
Yeah. The paper's filed.
Right. We'll go ahead and authorize Mr. Chamoff to take a couple of hours off Tuesday afternoon if he gets all his work done. Is there anything else? Hearing none, committee is adjourned. Thank you.